was through them, I ask in Jesus' name. Please be seated. When we think of the word love, we often think of the emotion that goes along with love. Like you say, I feel like I'm in love, or I have that loving feeling. But biblical love really is different from the sort of love that has to do only with the emotions. Sometimes we think of love as the older couple in a restaurant booth eating dinner. The wife looks over at another booth across the way and sees a couple about the same age. And the husband has his arm around his wife. He's kind of gently stroking her hair and he's whispering in her ear and she's blushing. And the other wife says, "Honey, look over at that couple over there. See how that husband is loving his wife. He's stroking her hair. He's whispering in her ear. He's really, really sweet. Why don't you do anything like that?" And the husband looks up from his Caesar salad and looks over at the couple and turns back to his wife and says, "Honey, I don't even know that woman." Well, ladies, sometimes we men are not real always that adept at showing our love. And in reality, sometimes women are that way as well. They're not always able to show love toward their spouses. We sometimes have an even harder time showing our love for those that are not related to us. And perhaps the hardest time we have of all is showing our love for God. For Jesus said in our gospel lesson today that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. How in the world do we do that? Well, when Jesus said that, he was saying something that was one of the two great commandments in the Bible. And there are over 600 commandments in the Old Testament. Some of those commandments are dietary commandments. Some of those are civil laws. Some of those are ceremonial laws. Those are the sort of laws that the Bible says Jesus came to do away with. You no longer have to keep those laws because they're really just meant for a specific time in the Old Testament. But the moral laws that were given to the people, not only through the Ten Commandments, but through other commandments as well, those moral laws continue to be in effect. We see that the moral laws are many times expanded in the Old Testament to include many other things, like we see in our Old Testament lesson from Exodus today, where the moral law of the Ten Commandments is kind of expanded to give a little more flesh to it. And so most people really don't know many of the Ten Commandments even. I mean, we may know one or two, but most people don't even know the Ten Commandments. There was a boy who was taking a confirmation test, and he was asked to list the Ten Commandments in any order. And so he wrote down 3, 6, 9, 1, 5, 4, 8, 2, 10. Turn if you will to our bulletin to the gospel lesson for today in Matthew chapter 22. And we see here that an expert of the law is going to be testing Jesus. And he's going to test him related to something that all the Jews knew, and that was the commandments of the Old Testament, especially the greatest commandment. And so the teacher, he said, "Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Jesus says we're to love the Lord your God. Martin Luther said this, "The life of Christianity consists of possessive pronouns. You see, it's one thing to say Christ is the Savior. It's quite another thing to say he's my Savior. The devil can say the first, but only a true Christian can say the second." End quote. Jesus commands you to love God as your God. The word "your" implies a personal relationship. When Jesus Christ came into this world, he made it possible for everyone to have a personal relationship with God. As we invite Christ into our lives, as we ask him to be our Savior, then he opens the door for us to have a personal relationship with God. And that's what God designed us to have when he created us in the beginning. And so as we have that personal relationship with God, we have the opportunity to communicate with God and to be in relationship to the God of the universe. So how do we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind? I think perhaps something that might help is to look at how husbands and wives are ideally supposed to love one another. And so, first of all, we show our love for our spouse by being faithful to him or her and forsaking all others. My wife is kind of a stickler about that.
She wants me to be a one-woman man. And she wants her to be that woman. And certainly I expect the same sort of commitment out of her. And I wouldn't be loving to her if I were seeking a relationship, intimate relationship with someone else. And so, in order for us to show our love for our spouse, we want to be faithful to her or him. And God is no different. One of the first of the Ten Commandments says, you shall have no other gods but me. The second thing is we show our love for our spouse by spending time together. It's easy for us to get involved in work or with our families or with our children or with our hobbies or whatever, so much so that we don't spend any time with our spouse, causing them to maybe feel neglected or feel like that they don't really matter, if they're kind of second in importance to us. But when we take time in our schedule to spend time with our spouse, then we really are showing them that they're important to us and that we love them. I wonder if God isn't the same way, if God doesn't desire us to spend time with him. I think of the story of Mary and Martha, where Jesus was at Martha's house, and Martha was all in the Twitter trying to get everything ready. She was just worried about so many different things. But Mary, her sister, was sitting at the feet of Jesus, simply listening to the Master. And Martha comes along and says, Lord, tell her to help me. I mean, I've been doing all the work, and she hasn't been doing anything. But the Lord said to Martha, 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 you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, only indeed one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary was showing her love for Jesus by spending time with him, getting to know him. In the hustle and bustle of your busy life, are you kind of like Martha? Are you worried and anxious about lots of different things, so much so that perhaps you don't spend any time with the Lord? Maybe we should be like wise Mary to spend time with the Lord in Bible reading and reflection and prayer, and even if it's just for a few moments of the day. Make it a part of your daily routine to spend quality time with the Lord. The third way we show love for our spouse is through our honor and praise of them. Every day we should look for ways or think of ways that we can praise and honor our spouse. For example, my wife has made so many sacrifices for me and my ministry, and I want to publicly praise her and thank her for that. You and I should brag on our spouses because we love them and want them and others to know it. I know some people who would just assume talk negatively about their spouses all the time. And I realize that there are some that have spouses that mistreat them or spouses that really are not respectful of them or not supportive or just plain bad spouses. And I wouldn't expect someone to brag on them or to praise them to someone else. Perhaps you might find someone like me or a Christian counselor to talk to if you're having situations like that. What's the parallel to Christian life? I think corporate worship in God's house is one main example. When we come to the Lord's house, we sing praises to God, and we're confessing to one another our praise and our honor of God. When we, in our prayers, we thank God for his works and his attributes, we're honoring God. We're praising him. When we listen carefully to his word as it's read and as it's preached and as we apply it in our lives, then we're honoring God. When we testify publicly about what God has done for us, about who God is, not only to others outside of the faith, but also to one another, then we're really honoring God. We show our love for God by doing these things. These are acts of worship that are expressions of our love for him. It's important for us to show God love in tangible ways by bragging on him through our testimony to others and through praise, worship, and singing. Fourth, we show our spouses we love them by doing things that please them and by avoiding things that displease them. Jesus said on a couple of occasions in John's Gospel that if you love me, keep my commandments. There was a missionary who was trying to win a man for Christ in China, and he used a neighbor as his example of a Christian. The Chinese man said, then I know what to be Christian. The startled missionary asked why. He said, my neighbor, his walkie no matchy his talkie. Well, I wonder if your walkie matches your talkie. Are we really living up to our Christianity for those around us? We show God our love for him in tangible ways by obeying him and following him. The rest of Jesus' greatest commandment statement has to do with loving our neighbor as ourself. Just like we would love our spouse or our children, even when we don't always have that loving feeling toward them, we're also to love our neighbor, even though we don't feel that love toward them. Pastor John MacArthur says, "When I first came to Grace Community Church, I wanted to love everyone, but I couldn't figure out how to get the emotional feeling that I thought was necessary. Some people were kind of interesting, and some even purposely made things difficult for me. I wanted to love them, but I didn't know how. One day I went to a man who was particularly difficult, put my arm around him and said, 'I want you to know something. If there's any way I can ever serve you, I'd sure love to have that opportunity.' Well, the opportunity came. My attitude toward him didn't change because of how I felt about him emotionally, but because of how I came to love him by serving him. Serving others is one of the greatest ways that we can show our love toward them. But actually, loving others can only be done as we keep God's moral commandments. The only way we can love God and others and in turn keep his commandments is by being filled with the love of God. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 5 that the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So if we have a relationship with God, if we have the Lord in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, then we have the ability to love with God's kind of love. If we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we have the ability to keep God's commandments the way God wants us to. So that's why it's important for us to constantly be asking for the Lord to fill us with his Holy Spirit so that we can love like he wants us to love and so that we can obey him like he wants us to obey him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us these two great commandments, and yet, Lord, in our own strength and our own power, it's impossible for us to love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. It's impossible for us to love our neighbors all the time either. Lord, would you fill us with your Spirit so that we might truly love them with God kind of love. We might truly obey you the way you want us to. Lord, we know that we have to rely completely upon you in order to truly live the sort of life that you want us to live. Lord, give us your grace now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.